Certain characteristics, basic traits of something. And I'm sure, I was thinking about this, I was going to use, well, did I use a common fruit that we knew about or something exotic? And I thought, well, perhaps I wouldn't know what it was, so you may not. So by choosing something we know about, it means that we're really exploring how we use our senses to gain that deeper understanding. Get more definition as we saw the picture. And now we have that experience of taste, of smell, of touch, and of sight. And hearing, I suppose, is a sense that we are drawing on the whole time as we hear the words, as we hear the descriptions. And I wonder whether, as you made your notes, whether you did see a progression as you gained a realization of a deep appreciation of the characteristics of this lemon. We've shared earlier how the commonplace, the things that happen in our lives, have inspired our worship, inspired our memories, led indeed to life decisions. You may have heard of Henri Nouwen, the priest and philosopher, who, when he saw Rembrandt's portrait, a picture of the prodigal son, he was so moved by the poignancy of the embrace of the father as he received the son back that it reinvigorated Nguyen's call to serve. It was a real demonstration in his life of the power of art and the power of visual perception. And as some writers have said, the power of art moves us to a deeper understanding of God's truth and of God's nature, and it has been severely neglected by some in their Christian worship. And that's something as a challenge, perhaps, to us in our tradition, is how much do we draw on the visual in our worship? On the sheets which you picked up at the beginning, there are some references to the different senses and how the Bible, in many, many places, leads us and points us to the ways in which our senses are used by God to interact with us. He formed us from the beginning. He knows our very being in Psalm 139. We have God's presence in the sound and the sight of thunder and lightning with Ezekiel's vision, moving through to the sheer silence when God approached Elijah. And the power of God's voice speaking to us through his word is something that we need to open our ears to hear. We've already seen in our reading about how there's the metaphorical use of our senses as we look to the kingdom to bring wholeness. As Jesus said recorded saying in Matthew chapter 11, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." There are these many different ways of us reaching God through our understanding. And a book that I have been reading, which has been really helpful to me in exploring this, is something called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. And if anybody would like to look at it, please do. And he describes how our sense of worship and our ways of reaching and showing our love for God, that we have preferences. I'm sure many of you know the Myers-Briggs profiling, where we have preferences in our characteristics. And so too, Thomas suggests that we have preferences in the way we reach God in our worship, whether it's through ritual and symbol, mystery and celebration, or solitude and simplicity, or it might be through activism, seeking justice, or caring for others, or seeing God in creation nature, or finally through the mind, the intellectual approach to God, through contemplation and through our senses. No one is a soul way, but we're exploring today how that sensate, that use of senses, can deepen our perception of God. Because all five of our senses are necessarily engaged in Christian worship. We might focus more on one sense than another, perhaps. And so today is an opportunity to try out a little bit more of how we can perceive God, understand his presence with us through the use of our senses. And it's a challenge to the perception of the false dualism separating soul and body. As in conversation with Dave, as we were talking about this, he said to me, if we are to see God in the material world, we need to train our senses so our attention can become a holy act. We can focus deeply on seeing God around us in our material world. Because our spirituality is defined by our interaction with the physical reality around us, not by our separation from it. And this was a real challenge to the early Christian church, who thought the kingdom had come, they need no longer worry about what they did because they were already in that place of the kingdom. And Paul had a lot to say to those who had given way to this false teaching. And what we need to do is to learn to actively enjoy the physicality of God's creation and honour what he has made us to be. I think a challenge as we explore our senses is, how profound are we in their use? As we know from Scripture, do we only hear or do we deeply listen? Do we only see or do we perceive? Do we only touch or do we really feel what it is that we're engaging with? Do we only smell or are we catching the deep aroma of that we're engaging with? And do we only taste or do we deeply savour something? And you perhaps can see the beginning of those connections with communion. Because our senses help us to respond to God's transcendence, his presence with us in his own special way. Our hearing responds to his call. We individually are called to come to the table. He says, when you do this in memory of me. So Jesus is calling each one of us individually. Our sight observes the liturgy of the action that we do. And one of the, to me, really special parts of our preparation for communion is when I hold up the bread and break it. That breaking being the symbol of Christ's broken body. If it helps you, do observe that. And then you might also observe that as I break it, I then bring it together as a demonstration that we are nonetheless broken but one body. Touch, of course, is as we take the bread and take the cup. In some traditions, it's more common practice to receive the bread, or more likely a wafer, and the wine in the mouth directly. I think that misses out a real sense of engaging with the bread and the cup. And I encourage us to think about that today as we come together to our communion. And then there's the smell of the fresh bread, which may evoke the Last Supper that Jesus had as he gathered with his friends. And finally, the taste as we savour the flavour of the wine. And I hope that this will help us all to deepen our perception of what the elements of the bread and wine are to us as they represent Christ's body and blood. To intensify our awareness of the presence of God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. In our gospel reading this morning, we had the account of the feeding of the 5,000, which was written as a model of the Passover meal. It prefigures the Last Supper, taking the bread, Jesus taking the bread and breaking it. And it links to what happened, of course, later with him being broken on the cross. And the bread of life is broken to feed us, to nourish the world. And it links the celebration of communion, of the Eucharist, the thanksgiving for what Jesus has done, with the saving power of Jesus on the cross. And as we come together, may we own for ourselves the verses which began the letter of John. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands is the word of life. So as you take the bread and wine in our shared act of communion, look beyond the practice of administration and perceive the person of Jesus Christ through your five senses, knowing that he has called us to his supper and wants us to draw deeply in remembering him and what he has done on the cross through his broken body and his split blood for you and for me. And when I invite you to come and share together, I shall give you the choice. You may wish to deepen your experience of the broken bread and the wine. I shall be here holding the loaf of bread and invite you to break off a portion for yourself. If you wish to receive in the more traditional way, then please go to the Coatthorpe Chapel and we will offer you the bread and the wine as you kneel at the rail. The choice is yours. And what is important is that we are sharing together around the Lord's table.